morning.
Good morning.
It's an honor and privilege for me to be with my brothers and sisters of the Chicago community to learn the Torah together. This will create simcha to the Hebrew, learning together in the free time. And in the Mishnah of Simcha Davis, there's a Hashem. Also, a different Torah belief in Nishmas, the Rebbe said, Tzadik Livracha, all the wonderful work that he established and continuing. And in Gan Eden, he has a link with Gan Eden, the success of the Torah Beis HaKever. He's alive spiritually. He has a chelik in all the Torah and Tfila. And he's participating with us. Hazat Hashem, Shbi Nachas Ruach, the Eirishtef.
Amen.
The fascinating known Gemara in Tainus. Rabbi Baroka was in the marketplace in Babel, a major marketplace, probably thousands of people there. And he meets Eliyahu HaNavi, and Eliyahu HaNavi comes to the marketplace next to Rabbi Baroka. Rabbi Baroka says to him, Rabbi, Eliyahu HaNavi, in this marketplace, thousands of people who are B'nai Olam Haba, who are going to reach Olam Haba. He asks Eliyahu HaNavi, he couldn't see. Eliyahu HaNavi knows. Eliyahu HaNavi says, he looks around, says, I'm sorry, I don't see anyone. Then all of a sudden, says the Gemara, two Jews walk into the marketplace. Eliyahu HaNavi points to them, these two Jews are B'nai Olam Haba. They look like regular Jews. Eliyahu HaNavi, so Rabbi Broker runs over to them and says, Rabbi Yidin, what's your profession? You look like regular people. What's your profession? So they say, we are comedians. Can you see people who are sad? We make them happy. He asks the Marshal, people who are sad, you make them happy. It's a mitzvah of Yemilas Chesed. But for that, you're guaranteed Olam Haba. Says the Marshal, Hashem in heaven is Avinu Malkeinu. He's first our Father. When the Yid is depressed, when the Yid is suffering, Hashem, our Father, is also suffering. When you go and you make a Jew who is depressed happy, you're making Hashem happy. That's why you're B'nai Olam Haba. Unbelievable. But Am Yisrael, we are the children of Hashem. And everything that's happening, everything that's going on in the world, Hashem as a Father is also suffering. And therefore, when you pray to Hashem, you want Yeshua, you pray for the Eibushter, we want the Eibushter Hashem for yourself. You're helping us and create Simcha to you. But Meislish, of the founder of the community here in, what's it called, the Weizner community. He was in Auschwitz. In his introduction, he writes a whole biography, the danger to life which he went through, the nisim that he had. And he writes a story, unbelievable story, he says. When they came after the training, there's a selection, the Mashimon. They had a board a certain height, and anyone who would not have to bend down could go under the board himself. That means he's too young. The young boy is short. They had a certain measure, and this board, of course. If he's too young, he's not fit to work. Immediately to the left. So only those who have to bend over to get through, then he's not fit to work, to the right. Now the chaos of after the train ride, a lot of children, young boys who are short, were able to escape the test, and they got through. And then they put them into the barracks. The Nazis, Yimach Shimon, knew this. So a day later, they go and check all the barracks again, and all the young boys who are short, they caught them again, and they locked them up in another barracks. So these are, tomorrow they're going to go and put them into the gas chamber. There were 400 young boys, right, of my Meislish. It turned out, which was Simchas Torah, they take the boys to the gas chamber, and they undress them, and they put them in, and lock the doors.
Boys say, the Ossetian boys, one says to the other, Tres Simchas Torah. We have to dance. But we don't have a Sefer Torah to dance here in the guest chamber. But the Eibishter is with us. Let's dance with the Eibishter. So in the guest chamber, right from Meislev, they started singing and dancing in the guest chamber. The Nazi outside hears them dancing, singing. What's going on with them? They're crazy. He opens up the gate and calls one of the boys. You're gonna be gassed. You're gonna be killed right away. Why are you dancing? So the boy says, "We're dancing because we're leaving a world that dogs like you run the world." You hear what he says? The kid says, the young boy says to the Nazi, he turns red, the Nazi, "All of you out! I'm going to show you how you're going to die." They take them all out, put them in another barracks, and Hashem and Hashemai, right from Meislish, the officer was sent off to fight into Russia, and all these boys were saved. My dear friends, with Bashamayim, with these boys are in the gas chamber, they dance with the Eibishter, thanking the Eibishter for what they have. What simcha did this create to the Eibishter? And the Eibishter showed, "I'm a father, you appreciate me, you love me, you're all going to be saved." My dear friends, the learning of the Torah creates the greatest simcha to the Eibishter. Our learning Torah this morning will surely create simcha to the Eibishter. And Be'ezrat Hashem, Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, Hanesuni B'Tzor V'Shivya, Ha'inni Le'Bayom Yavasha, all the Jewish hostages, all the Jewish soldiers, and Hashem should bless us with Gula Shlema, the Shalom HaYisrael, the Heavy Amen, Amen.
Amen.
Our topic today, sacrificing oneself to another person, of course it's the greatest mitzvah of chesed, saving someone else, but we should know, our bodies do not belong to us. Our bodies belong to the Eibishter. Hashem created us. Nishamos Hamiyosisi. I gave you your soul. You belong to me. You have to follow the Torah. In the Torah, it says, "Achas dimchem nashoseichem edrosh." A person cannot commit suicide. Just like I cannot kill someone else, a person committing suicide to himself is also a type of the parameters of the late Sirita. Achas dimchem nashoseichem. You spill your own blood, edrosh, I'm going to seek you. So you're to seek. By the way, as a aside, the commentaries say, the person is dead. Where is Hashem going to find him? So you see in the Torah, there's Ha'ilam Haba, there's Ha'ilam and the Shamos. You killed your body, I'll take you, I'll find you upstairs. And the halacha is self-abuse. To me, to injure my body, is also prohibited from under the same parameters. Our bodies do not belong to us. So here starts my friend Shevot questions. Do I have a right to sacrifice myself for someone else? For instance, let's say regarding organ donation. Person, Baruch Hashem, we're able to donate kidneys. Hashem gave us two kidneys. We're able to donate one, and we're fine. We're going to discuss whether I'm obligated or not. But let's say, person needs a liver. I'm able to donate the part of my liver, but there's a morbidity. The donor might die. I think 2% of the donors who donate part of their liver are going to die. What is the halacha? Is that sakana, putting myself into risk to my life? Putting yourself into risk in your life, nishmartu lo nashoseichem. If I do something, even I put myself in danger, and God forbid something happens to me and person dies, that's defined as suicide. Putting yourself into risk and you die, putting yourself into risk is prohibited. Baruch Hashem, someone who skis and putting yourself into risk, and Baruch Hashem, nothing happened, maybe it's prohibited. But Chas v'Shalom, God forbid, if something happens and he gets killed, Baruch Shemayim, heaven, they say, you committed suicide with all the ramifications of suicide. So we have an issue, sacrificing myself for someone else. May I sacrifice myself for my wife? May a wife sacrifice herself for her husband? Are the same parameters of my sacrificing myself, putting myself into risk for a friend, for a stranger, for someone else? Is that also apply the same parameters to my wife, to my husband? May a woman who pregnancy endangers her life and she wants a baby, halacha doesn't have to, she doesn't have to have children, but she wants a child. May she put herself into risk? course, she wants a baby. Is she allowed or not? What are the parameters? What are the risks? And then, my dear friends, we get into the issue of soldiers, the time of war today. The same parameters of civilians, the same halachas of civilians, does that apply to soldiers also at war? Put it in yourself. God forbid, someone throws a hand grenade, an Arab terrorist throws a hand grenade. Am I allowed to jump on the hand grenade to save others? Am I allowed? Am I not allowed? Am I obligated? Am I not obligated? What are the halachic parameters? Now, sacrificing myself, can I give up my life? Someone else is in danger. And I want to sacrifice my life in order to save someone else. Is that permissible or not? What does the Torah say? It's a famous Gemara, the Gemara in Baba Metzia. You have an argument between Ben Petura and Rabbi Akiva. Ben Petura says it's like this. Shnayim, two people are going in the desert. One has water. If he drinks, he keeps the water for himself, he'll reach the city and he'll survive, no problem. But he's with another fellow. If he shares the water with the other fellow will live longer, but he's both are going to die. What's the halacha? Am I allowed to, or am I obligated to give, to share my water with the other fellow, to extend his life, but I'm sacrificing my life? I'm not going to reach the city, and I'm going to die dehydration. Oh, thank you. Now die from dehydration. Is that what's the halacha? Says Ben Petura, share, because by sharing he's going to live longer, right? Even though you're sacrificing your life, you're going to die. You're supposed to share. At Shabbat Rabbi Akiva, and he says, Bechei Ochicha Imoch. You're obligated to save your brother Imoch. But you, Hayecha Kovin, you have priority, and you're not allowed to sacrifice your life to save someone else. According to Rabbi Akiva, two people are going, right? And he wants to give his water to save someone else, right? You're not allowed. Hayecha Kovin, you have no right to give, to sacrifice your life to save someone else. That's the halacha. That it's asur, it's haram, it's prohibited for you to give up your life. I'm not speaking about risk yet. Giving up your life to save someone else, it is prohibited. Now, over here we find in the commentaries that we've shown it. Gemara says that Poppus and Lulinus, these were two Jews from the city of Lud, the Roman king's daughter, or the Roman governor's daughter was killed, and they accused, of course, the anti-Semites accused the Jewish people. So the Roman governor says, if those Jewish murderers don't go and admit that they did it, I'm killing out all the Jews. Poppus and Lulinus were totally innocent. It was Goyim who killed the daughter of the governor, but the Jewish people are in danger. They went and said, "We are the ones who did it. We admit it. We are the ones." It wasn't true, but they admitted it. They sacrificed their life to save others, and that Gemara says there's no one at that level Elam Haba that they have that they died on Kiddush Hashem, saving other people's lives. So the halacha now, this is also Yam Shel Shlomo. Halacha is, every mitzvah in the Torah, if it's life-threatening, Ya'avor Bal Ya'areh. You transgress, you don't sacrifice your life. Shabbos and Pikuach Nefesh. It's a question of life and death on Shabbos, you desecrate Shabbos in Kippur. There are three sins that you have to sacrifice your life for. Yehorig Bal Ya'avor, you have to sacrifice your life. Avodah Zarah. Gilu Yarayot, I mean, it's our idol worship, Yarayot, illicit relationships, and Gilu Yarayot, I mean, it's our Shvichus Lomim, causing killing someone. Because all these things are Yehoreg Vayavar. Now, it comes along, the Yam Shel Shlomo, and it says, a person that take a Jew, and they're torturing him to worship Avodah Zarah. Like in the, in Spain, And in Spain, they're torturing, they want you to worship a bizarre. Allah is Yehoreg Bal Ya'avor, but physically, let them sacrifice your life. But says the Yam Shel Shlomo, you must extend as much as possible not to commit suicide. Others should kill you, but don't kill yourself. Do everything possible not to kill yourself. Act physically. Let others kill you. That's Yehori Vayavar. Says Yom Shlomo and Baba Kama. Yehori Vayavar is let yourself be killed, but don't kill yourself actually. Don't not commit suicide. But he says, if it's a question that the torturing you, we want you to give over the other Jews who we want to. Two Jews did a crime, and the crime is not really something crime, and it's not due to be killed. The punishment should normally not be killed, but the anti-Semites want the Jews that did a certain crime. You should inform on them, and they're going to kill them. So, and then torturing this individual in order he should inform, he should be a meiser, inform on two other Jews. Says the Yom Shoshana over here, you may commit suicide, not the two other Jews should be killed. Again, one-on-one, not to sacrifice your life for someone else, says Rabbi Akiva, Hayecha Kodman, Hayecha Kima. One-on-one, with one and two, by your sacrificing your life, you're going to save two Jews, you're allowed to commit suicide. The difference between a yachid and a yachid, a singular person vis-a-vis a singular person, and a singular person committing suicide to save two other Jews, then you are allowed. You're not chayev, but then you are allowed. There's a difference between yachid and yachid, one on one, and one end, and one on two. Okay? Let me go. Hello, Hato Adonai, Eloheinu Melech Olam, Shehakol Niyob Dvaro. Says the Yamsha Shlomo, Shaul HaMelech was being chased after by the Philistines, and he was wounded. And Shaul HaMelech takes a sword, and he says to his helper, kill me. Helper refused. Shaul HaMelech jumped on the sword and killed himself. Right? Says the Yamsha Shlomo, how is he allowed to kill himself? It's a hurry, Vayavar, but not commit suicide. Says the Yamsha Shlomo, because Shaul HaMelech knew if he's going to be captured alive, other Jews are going to sacrifice their lives to save him. And because of him, other Jews are going to be killed. And therefore, to save other Jews, you're allowed to commit suicide. So my dear friends, Chas v'Shalom, God forbid, if you have Arab terrorist comes in, when you're in a room, and he throws a hand grenade, right? So if we're all here, so, and I am outside. My life's not in danger. And I see what's happening, and there are two or three Jews in the room. So if there would be only one Jew in that room, and my life is not in danger, am I allowed to jump on the hand grenade and kill myself to save someone else? No. But there are two Yidden, then you are allowed to jump into the room, sacrifice your life to save Jews, to save two Jews. Okay? These are the parameters. These halachot, one against one, is that chayecha kodmin, but one visa two. Two have priority, you're not chayev, you're not obligated to, but you are allowed. This is only regarding suicide. But if someone says to you, I want you to kill this Jew, if not, I'll kill 10 other Jews, then you're hurrying by Yahweh that you cannot do. Suicide, this is still a difference between suicide and a third person. To kill one in order to save two or many or a million. You cannot kill one Jew to save a million Jews. You yourself, it's a mitzvah. Papas and Linus. But for someone else, it's the Yehorig Vayavar. That's a whole sugya. Gemara says, we're going to surround the city, give us one Jew. If not, we're going to kill everyone. We want one Jew. Yehorig Kulam, I cannot do it. So the difference between suicide and murder and a third person. And again, the issue of suicide, if it's one and one, then chayecha kodmin. But if it's one and for two, then you may sacrifice your life. That's regarding suicide. Now, entering risk. How does halacha relate to risk? Now, of course, our levels of risk. There's rove and jarat, you're going to die, and there's a suffix 50-50, then you have less of the jarat, you're going to survive. That's, we have to, that's, these are, but What's the halal in principle? How do we relate to suffix? Suffix danger. Suffix pikuach nefesh. Now halacha is Shabbos is desecrated for pikuach nefesh, save a life. What about suffix pikuach nefesh? I don't know. I don't know if this is pikuach nefesh or not. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. Do I sacrifice? Am I mahal Shabbos? I desecrate Shabbos for suffix pikuach nefesh? Halacha is yes. Suffix pikuach nefesh is equal to pikuach nefesh vatai. Is equal. Now, go ahead and come to me, Wiener, I want you to kill this other Jew, if not, I'm going to kill you. Kill me. The goyim come to me, Wiener, I want you to put this other Jew in a suffek pikuach nefesh. It's not vladai, but it's a suffek. He might survive, this other Jew might not survive, and if you refuse, I'm going to kill you. Halacha is, yareg val yavor on a suffek mitzicha. On a tzicha, we don't find a difference between suffek and vadai regarding the Shabbos, regarding desecrating regarding to for someone else. Yehoreg vayavar on a vadai with tzicha or a suffek with tzicha. You have a scenario where it's a suffek if you leave someone else. Also, if not, I'm going to kill you, but also yehoreg vayavar. Now, how about entering your risk in order to save someone else's life? To sacrifice my life for someone else? Vadai, then you're not allowed. He said, because Hayecha held me, correct? So every kiva. But putting yourself into a suffix situation in order to save someone, am I allowed? Is it permissible? Am I higher? Do I have to do it or not? He's surely going to die. His fellow's drowning. I'm not a lifesaver, but I might save him, but he might pull me down also. What's the halacha? Am I obligated or may I put myself into a suffix pikuach nefesh? To save someone else's life. Now, here's a fascinating remark. Yes. This comes along, the Kesef Mishnah, Bet Yosef, and he brings Hagoyas Maimonis, one of the Rishonim, where the Maimon speaks about committing suicide, where it's prohibited to commit suicide. He says that the Hagoyas Maimonis writes, we have a source from the Rishonim, but you may not sacrifice your life for someone else, but putting yourself into a suffix situation, you're obligated to. If it's a suffix, you're obligated to, and that's the Yerushalmi. What's the Yerushalmi? Yerushalmi tells us, it's the Yerushalmi in the Sefer Trumos Perites, those who want to see it. Rabbi Imi was captured by a group of bandits, and they wanted a huge amount of ransom. Says Rabbi Yonatan, we have no choice. We don't have that money. We don't have Jewish soldiers to try to save Rabbi Mi. We have nothing to do. We don't know what to do. Now, amongst the yeshiva fellows, there was Reish Lakish. Was amongst the yeshiva guys. Reish Lakish, before he became a yeshiva fellow, what was his history? He was the head of a group of bandits. Reish Lakish, a group of bandits. But he came about tshuva. Rabbi Yochanan brought him back to tshuva. And I guess, so it says Reish Lakish, I'm not afraid. I'm going to go into the bandits' camp, these goyim. Either I'll kill them, or they'll kill me, but I'm going to save Rabbi Mi. Yeah? You hear what he says? I'm not afraid. I'm going into another camp. Either I'll be killed, or they're going to kill me, but I'm surely going to save Rabbi Mi. So I guess in the yeshiva, under his bed, he had the sword from his old time. So he takes the sword, whenever he got the sword, and he goes into the camp. He follows, I guess they knew who the bandits were, the mafiosos in those days. Goes into the camp, and goes into the, who's he meet? His old buddies. His old buddies from the, oh, look, how you doing? What can we do for you? What can we do for you? Good old times. So he says, you kidnapped my buddy Rabbi Imi. For you, take him for free. Take him back. So, okay, take Rabbi Imi, give him to Reish Lakish, take him back. Reish Lakish says, I'm a student of Rabbi Yochanan, the great rabbi. Perhaps, do you want a blessing from him? The good deed that you did? Do you want a blessing from the great rabbi? Wow! I said to Goyim, of course! He's an abandoned, he's a rotzim. We want a blessing from the rabbi. He takes them to Tveria. He comes to, takes the bandits, who were bandits, mafiosis, to Rabbi Yochanan, and says to Rabbi Yochanan, look what a good deed that this fellow, these guys did, and it freed Rabbi Mi for free. says Rabbi Yochanan, what you plan to do to him, Hashem should give it back to you. What you wanted to do, Hashem should give it back to you. They thought it is a blessing. But the Gemara says it was a curse. On their way back to their camp, they were attacked by a rival banditry, and they all were killed. That's the Gemara. When I saw the Gemara, let me share the unbelievable story of Avraham Kotler. Avraham Kotler came over to America, immigrated to America. He was, it was a time of World War II. They founded, there was the Avad Hatzolo, of Rabbanim, Avad Hatzolo, a group, a committee, that they sacrificed, did everything possible to save Jews from the Holocaust. 24/7, they did everything on Shabbos, Pikuach Nefesh, they did everything in order to save Jews. So Avraham Kotler, of course, was involved with other great Rabbanim, and this Avad Hatzolo, this committee of saving lives. One day, they get a telegram from Poland. A group of Jewish soldiers, Polish Jews, are hiding, and they need to be. They were caught by the Nazis or by the Polish. Helpers, those who help the Nazis, and the only way to save them is by the American government in Washington, using their political pressure, they could save these Jews who were caught by the Polish officials there. So please do everything. So they try their best to try to make their connections to Washington, to try to get to Washington. And the president was President Roosevelt, and there was anti-Semitic. Eleanor Roosevelt was anti-Semitic. There was anti-Semites that did not help Jews at all. So they didn't know what to do. So in their investigations, they found out that the head of the Italian mafia of New York, he has connections with the politicians in Washington. Oh, that's the only way. So he and Mr. Schoenfeld make an appointment with the head of the mafiosi, I forgot his name, in New York. They come to him, and he starts speaking to him about the only new Yiddish, and he's speaking in Yiddish. And he's all fiery, he's all crying. And Mr. Schoenfeld says, Rabbi, wait a minute, let me translate for the fellow. That's what you're talking about. So Mafiosi says, I don't need any translation. He's speaking from the heart. I understand. I'll do everything possible to save him. Yeah? Mafiosi. And he goes, he's the connections with the politicians in Washington, and this group of Jews were saved. Oh, Hashem. After the war was over, Avraham Kotler calls Mr. Schoenfeld, look, we have to thank Mr. Mafiosi, the head of the mafiosi, Italian mafiosi, you have to thank him for what he did. He did something, we saved Jews, you have to thank him. So make an appointment with the mafiosi, Avraham Kotler, Mr. Schoenfeld, go to the mafiosi, we want to thank you for what you did, for your sacrifice. So mafiosi says, Rabbi, I want a blessing. I need a blessing, I want a blessing from you. Like the great bandits of Reish Lakish. I need a blessing. What could my Baron Kotler bless them? You should be Matzliach. You should be successful. The murderers, they got nothing. What could he bless them? Hashem gives HaKodesh insight. He says, I bless you. You should die in your bed. And not by any assassin, not by any of your rivals. You should die in your bed from old age. He says, Rabbi, I appreciate your blessing. I need that blessing, and thank you. Yeah? Okay. Unbelievable, that insight. Who would think of this? Let him go. 2 years later, I don't know how many years later, a car pulls up at BMG in Lakewood. One of the fancy cars, what do you call these fancy cars? What? Limousine. Limousine, thank you. Limousine, fancy car. Who comes out of the car? The son of the mafiosi. He's also a mafia. He comes out. So the yeshiva guys see this limousine and say, Goy, what do you want? Why are you coming to BMG? He says, my father had a blessing from Rabbi Kotler. We need a blessing also. I need that blessing also. Please take me into Rabbi Kotler. So then Schneer was alive, Schneer Kotler. Takes him to Schneer Kotler and says, your father gave a blessing to my father. I need that blessing also. So Schneer says, look, my father was holy, his blessing. I'll give you a blessing, but that's unbelievable. So the story that you see, the unbelievable siyata d'shmaya, that the insight, you should die in your bed. And he appreciated it. Pile koyim. So says the Yush, says Hagoyas Magnus. Reish Lakish, what does Reish Lakish say? I'm going into the camp, either I'll kill or be killed. So what is he doing? He's putting himself into a safek sakana, into a risk, a 50% risk to save a life. Says the Hagoyas Magnus, here's the source, that a person is chayiv to put himself into 50% risk in order to save another Jew. If it's more than 50%, then not. More than 50%, then not. Why, it's rov, and that means chayecha kodmin. 50-50, and we are surely going to save this other fellow. It's chayecha kodmin. You're only putting yourself into risk, but this other fellow is surely going to die. Therefore, according to the Yerushalmi, you're obligated to put yourself into a suffolk risk in order to save somehow. That's a very, very strong halacha. Putting yourself into 50% risk to save someone else. But I have to give, that means I would have to give up part of my liver or any other very risky in order to save someone else. Comes along the other Rishonim. This is Vorta halacha. Igmar says that we have halacha, a person is drowning. You have to save him from two sources. This is the Gemara, the Fayin Beis and Sanhedrin. One source is, the Torah says, V'hashiv osalom. Just like I'm obligated to return a lost object to someone, you're obligated to return a person's in a risk situation. You're obligated, he's drowning, or he's being attacked by an animal. You're obligated to save him. Another source is, Humish Vayikra, Lo Tamod Adam Yechot. The blood of your friend and fellow Jew is being spilled. Do not stand by. You're obligated to do to save him. Tamar says, once I have Hashivosolo, why do I need this other person? What's Samod Adam Re'echa? Why do I need Pupsukim? Two sources. One's enough. Person is drowning. Person's life's in danger. You're obligated to save him. Why do I need Pupsukim? Now, it says more like this. Returning a lost object, you have to physically make the physical effort. You're not obligated to spend money to return a lost object. You find something in the street, a ring or something in the street. The only way to find the person, you put an ad in the newspapers, costs you money. You don't have to spend money in order to return a monetary loss to someone else. So if I have the source of B, Hashivosalo, it's in order, so the person is drowning, and I could hire a boat, speedboat to save him, you'd not be obligated to. I don't have to spend money. Comes along the other verse, Losamo Damecha, you have to spend money. Yeah, this person is drowning, and the only way to save him would be to rent a speedboat or to hire someone to jump in, a lifesaver to save him. You're obligated to spend money. That's a big mark. So say to Rishonim, what's more important? Risk to life situation or spending money? Or money? What's worse? For money, I don't desecrate Shabbos. Suffolk people have happened, I do desecrate Shabbos. So if I am obligated to endanger my life to save another person, why does the Gemara say the additional verse, so Samuel Damecha tells me you have to spend money, it should tell me a bigger finish, a stronger insight, that you're obligated to risk your life to save someone else? So we hear they say there's an argument between the Yerushalmi and the Bavli. According to the Yerushalmi, what the Reish Lakish did, put himself into risk, yes, you'd be obligated. But according to the Bavli, my obligation is money, but nothing more than money. You hear? My obligation is money, but nothing more than money. Therefore, my dear friends, therefore, how much money we're going to discuss? Therefore, am I obligated to give a kidney to save someone else's life? I'm not putting myself into risk. I'm giving an organ of myself, of mine, to save someone else's life. Am I obligated or not?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Is an organ more than money?
No.
Yes. Halacha is like this. Listen, my dear friend. Listen to you. You're following halacha. Halacha is like this. A guy comes to me and says, Wiener, either you'll eat this pig, or I'm taking all the money that you have away from you. I'm going to steal all your money. What do? You eat the pig, or you have to give him all the money? What's halacha? Huh? You have to give all your money. What happens if a guy comes to me and says, Wiener, either you're going to eat the pig, I'm cutting your finger off. Either. Halacha is, you eat the pig. You hear? He goes, just let me share with you a story. The Chavis Yoyer lived 300 years ago in Europe. There's this Jew, traveling, and he comes to a motel at night, place to sleep over, and there's a dining room over there. He has his own food. He sits down in the dining room, in the restaurant, the Goyish restaurant, and eating food. Comes along an officer, K-N-I-G-H-T, an officer, Goyish officer, comes to the bar and starts drinking. Then he starts yelling, "On the house, I'm going to pay anyone to drink, everyone's honored to drink, and I'll pay for it." Oh, very good. So he starts giving out the wine to everyone. And they give it to the Yid also. Everyone's drinking and the Yid doesn't drink. So the officer comes, "Why aren't you drinking? Don't you? Where's your respect to me?" He says, it's haram. There's no hepshur on it. You've got to get your wine. For us, it's a prohibition. He takes out his sword and says, "Either you're going to drink or I'm cutting off your earlobe." Yeah? "Either going to drink, I'm cutting off your earlobe." What did he do? Okay, he had no choice. So he drank the wine. He comes to the city, where he lives, a little village where he lives, and he tells a story. The British officer, threatened the loss of my earlobe, and this and that, and I had to drink. "What? You drank Yain and Nesek, British wine? You're not getting any more aliyahs here." "You're not getting any more aliyot. You drank Goyish wine, you finished. You exercised, you put out, you pushed out." So Sheila came to Chavis Yoyer. Now, Eiver is more important than Losa says, only where you lose the Eiver. Cutting off the earlobe, are you losing the hearing function? No. It's going to affect. You wouldn't be able to hear as good as before. There, you would not be able to. Again, if I'm going to have the loss of the Eiver, then the Eiver is more important than the Losas of the Torah. It's more than the Chol Mordecha. But we're not going to lose the Eiver. Just exactly the function as well. That does not compromise a Losas of the Torah. But, says the Chavis Yoyer, the sword was not, how to say, clean. Sterile, thank you. And cutting off the lobe, the guy didn't get infected. He called nefesh, no problem whatsoever. Everything is okay. So what do I see? That regarding to Eiver is more than money for him. Excuse
me?
It's Rabbanan. Okay, but Rabbanan is also the whole shaira of more money. Rabbanan, I have to spend all my money on the Eiver and Rabbanan. Since it's a maisa,
that's money, but it's
not Eiver, I have to give a whole maisa for Rabbanan. So that's the whole shaira. Yeah. So see, according to the Chavis Yoyer, it's an activity on Shabbos. It has to be on Shabbos. You can't save on Shabbos. It's Rabbanan. If it's not going to lose the labor, but the function, that's the whole discussion. Okay? So, according to the Bavli, according to Halacha, I'm obligated to give money. But more money than how much money? Halacha is, if I'm going, a guy comes to me and says, "We want you to transgress positively eating pig," then you have to be called with that. Of course, the transgression is positive. But we aren't transgressing Sheva Taisa passively by not doing, then it's compared to Mitzvah Saseh. And how much do I have to spend to fulfill a Mitzvah Saseh? Maiser, Chomesh, not more than that. So in order to save a life, I'm obligated to Chomesh, Maiser, Chomesh. More than that, that's already, I am not obligated. These are parameters. Now, am I obligated to suffer? I'm not going to lose my Eiver, but I'll be in pain. Am I obligated to suffer? Or am I obligated to end up in bed for a while? If I'm going to give up my kidney or part of my liver, I'll be in bed the rest of my life. What?
Bedridden.
Have to be bedridden or not. So here's a whole discussion. So according to Rabbi Yashin Murray Barabi, you are obligated temporary suffering to sacrifice yourself to suffering. You're not speaking about loss, That's going to be loss of money, and you're going to suffer. You'll be in pain. Temporary, yes, you're chayiv. Temporary, becoming sick, yes, you are chayiv. But if it's more, not temporary, that's more than money, and then I would not be chayiv. Again, temporary sacrifice, where you're going to suffer or be sick temporarily, okay, then you'd be chayiv, according to Rabbi Yashin. More than that, you'd not be chayiv. Okay?
Excuse me? Between giving part of one's liver versus giving a kidney. So, without a liver, one can't live. So, the transplant.
I'm giving part of a liver.
Right. That's okay.
So, only 2%.
But a kidney transplant does not save a life. In other words, there's an alternative, the dialysis. So, the person who is receiving the kidney is not going to die, he will be on dialysis.
The dialysis is called pikuach nefesh, my dear friends. Person on dialysis is called pikuach nefesh. He is in a life-threatening situation. First of all, a person on dialysis cannot live forever. He's limited. And therefore, by giving him the kidney, I'm extending his life.
My patients with kidney transplants live shorter than my ones on dialysis.
Yes?
Did that
happen? Okay, so it depends. Okay, it all depends. And Hanami. If it's not going to extend life, okay.
You say temporary, suffering for a year, is that temporary?
No. That's not temporary. That would depend on the rabbi you're going to speak to. That would depend on the rabbi. That cannot be defined as temporary. Temporary would be temporary. A year would not be called temporary. Half a year also not be temporary. Yes, that would depend on the position of the rabbi that you present. Again, okay? Okay, so that has to be. Look, regarding a kidney, you're allowed to, but you're not chayiv to. So over here also, regarding helping the other person, quality of life, it's also you may enter, or you may do it. To help quality of life, you may donate, you're not obligated, you may donate the kidney in order to help the quality of life of the other person. We had a shayla like this, listen to this. We have a Yishuv, this is a Avayashi. This is a person who needs medical treatment, right? He's in a life-threatening situation. If he doesn't take the operation, he's surely going to die. What level of risk may a person enter in order to save his life? He himself. Right? If not for the operation, he's going to, but the operation is very high risk. What level of risk is a person allowed in order to extend life? Halacha is, if it's short, without treatment, it's short-term life, and there's a possibility of long-term life, says Moshe Feinstein, 95% with operation will kill you, but there's a 5% chance of survival, of living more than a year, you may take that risk. Yeah? Because you're sacrificing your short-term life for the possibility of long-term life. Okay? I guess Rabbi Yashin's Yashin, a person who's bedridden. The question was like this. This is a person who needs open heart surgery. Without open heart surgery, he's going to die. With the surgery, he'll live for another 20 years. But if he stays in bed, he'll also live 20 years. If he's bedridden, he'll live for 20 years. Is he allowed to put himself into major risk to take preparation for quality of life? You hear the shayla? Not to save, life, you're allowed to. But for quality of life, see, you're in bed for 20 years for this. Set me Rabbi Yashin, quality of life, you may, it's like life, and you may make major risk for quality of life.
Rabbi Yashin's case that you just mentioned is about his own quality of life. Not
for
somebody else's.
No, I'm allowed to. Again, I am allowed to. I'm not hired to give up my quality of life. Yeah? But you're allowed to. You're not allowed to kill yourself, but your quality of life, you're allowed to. You're not hired to suffer, put yourself into suffering if it's continual. But you're allowed to. Killing yourself that night, more than risk, what's defined as risk that you may not, but for you may sacrifice your quality of life for saving another Jew. Good?
Not the same case, though.
Sue?
The Yashin's case is not the same case.
They actually, no. In fact. But I am making that parallel.
Okay.
Well, no, please. But the svara is a good svara. Because I am not endangering my life. I'm giving a quality of life. That you're allowed, you're not chayef to, but you're allowed to. You're not chayef to give all your money to save someone else's life. But if you want to, please. Right? In this house, it's not good. Okay. Now, in time of war. Till now, we spoke about civil situations. Now, soldiers at war who have the same halachic parameters have the same halachic parameters or not, right? Okay, let me give you an example. We are in a room. I'm not at war, and an Arab terrorist throws in the hand grenade, right? And there's one Jew in the room. I'm outside. Am I allowed to jump on the hand grenade to save one other Jew? No. At time of war, is the same parameters or not? To save two Jews, you're allowed to sacrifice your life. I'm not in danger to save two Jews. Right? But not one. Sacrifice not one. But how about the time of war? Now, the fascinating share you, unbelievable Rambam. Hey, unbelievable Rambam. Let's see. Yes. Okay. Rambam 6 on Hilchos Melachim. It's the end of Perek Zayin Hilchos Melachim. I recommend you afterwards to see it. Rambam speaks about Jewish soldiers. How does halacha relate to Jewish soldiers? Let me share with you what the Rambam writes. Rambam says like this. First of all, this is Perek Zayin Halacha Tezvot in the Rambam Hilchos Melachim. Okay. If there's a war and you are a soldier, you're involved in battle. Yishayin on Mikve Yisrael. You have to have bitachon on the Eibushter. Umoshio beis tzara. Right? You believe in Hashem, and we are shlichim. We're working for Hashem. You have to rely on the yishayin on Mikve Yisrael Moshiach. Shal yichud Hashem hu esel luchama. I'm fighting. You're fighting for Am Yisrael. My fighting, protecting Jews, I'm fighting for Hashem. Right? He should endanger himself. A soldier should endanger himself in battle. Your life in your hands. Put your life in your hands. Don't be afraid. Don't think about your wife. The Leibana, this is the time of battle. You're in battle. Don't think about your wife or kids. You have to remove your wife and kids. If you're thinking about your wife and kids, you're not going to fight, right? You're not going to put yourself in danger. You're at war. This is your mission. Forget about everything. Okay. Again, then he continues. And someone who is afraid, right? Someone who is afraid and he's in battle. A soldier is not an individual. The life of Am Yisrael, what you're doing is you are individual, but you're saving not one individual. You're saving Klal Yisrael. Unbelievable, Lashon HaRambam. Behold, the May Yisrael, Tluyim Tzavaro. Okay? And if he does not, if he does not fight, we behold the Vavav, Behold Nafsho. It's like he's spilling out the blood of Hakol of all the Jews. A Jewish soldier is not saving one life, he's saving Klal Yisrael. Unbelievable. Okay? Now, continues the Rambam. You must see it inside. Someone who fights with his whole entire heart. Without fear. And his intention is just the Kaddish, is Hashem Bulvad. My purpose is I am a holy mission. Muftach lo is guaranteed. Shlo yimso nezek. Nothing's going to happen to you. Lo sagia ro. No evil will reach you. Beyivne lo bayis nochon b'Yisrael. And you beis at Hashem. You're not married. When you go out, you'll survive and you'll be able to get married. Beyiske lo uvonov ad olam. You can have children. You can have a legacy. You have a continuation ad olam. Beyiske lechaya olam haba. Huh? Unbelievable. A soldier, a Jewish soldier, is fighting according to the principles of the Torah, is saving Klal Yisrael. Shenemar, Abigail, blessed David HaMelech, Ki Yosei Yasa Hashem LaAdoni Bayis Neman, the blessings Hashem should bless you with a pure house. Ki Melchamis Hashem Adoni Nilcham, because you're fighting the enemy, right? You're doing the Melchamis Hashem. Ve'rol Osim Tzchom Bobi Yamecho, and no evil will come to you, David HaMelech, in your life. Ve'osei Nefesh Adoni Tzur B'tzur Achayim Hashem Gecha, and you have Eilam Hava. Two important insights in the Rambam. One insight is a Jewish soldier is not an individual. He's saving a rabbi. Secondly, the blessings of David, Hashem blessed David HaMelech, comes to an individual soldier. David HaMelech, he's saving Pius of the king. Hashem blessed the Torah, and you have a Lamaba with children, An individual soldier is zochet to the blessings of David HaMelech. That means anyone who sacrifices his life for Am Yisrael, whether you're a soldier, whether you're a Ben Torah, you're sacrificing your life for the Eibishter, you're guaranteed the blessings of David HaMelech. Therefore, my dear friends, if I have one Jewish soldier in the room, and his hand grenade, some of those hand grenades, can I jump in to save that individual? Yes. He's not the individual. A Jewish soldier is a rabbi, and you may sacrifice your life to save a rabbi. My grandson asked me, Rabbi Abba Saba, if it's a regular Jew, he's not a soldier, and he's going to save this Jewish soldier, so it's a yachid vis-a-vis a rabbi. But if the fellow who's going to save the Jew who sacrificed his life is also a soldier, he's a rabbi. How's a rabbi able to sacrifice himself for a rabbi? You have a question? My grandson asked. If he's a yachid, then a yachid will rabbi. But if you are a rabbi, then just like a yachid vis-a-vis, a yachid cannot sacrifice his life. Right? So a yachid, a rabbi, to sacrifice a life for rabbi, they're equal. He cannot. So how can a Jewish soldier sacrifice his life? So I said to him, once he saves the Jewish soldier, once one sacrifices his life and saves the other Jewish soldier, he is going to be a different type of soldier already. His rabbin is going to be a different type of rabbin. He feels someone sacrificed his life to save me. I'm devoting my life to Yisrael. It's a different rabbin. Once a person sacrifices his life for someone else, that fellow is a different person. He's a different rabbin. Now, let's go on. Now, there's another issue. Sacrificing one life for another life affects the morale of the Jewish of a soldier. My life has been protected. Everyone can do their maximum. It's morale. Morale in halacha, excuse me. Morale in halacha. Jewish morale, soldiers in halacha. Halacha relates to the dimension of Jewish morale. A mace on Shabbos, someone dies in the community on Shabbos, you have a goy, you're not allowed to desecrate Shabbos to save his life. A Jewish soldier died, he was dead, he was being killed in battle. We desecrate Shabbos, bring in an ambulance to take him out. The other Jewish soldiers should not see it. Why? If the other soldiers see a dead, it's going to affect the morale. We had a Shiloh. There's a group of soldiers who needed chizuk. They were getting depressed. So they wanted a rav to come and give a speech, a rabbi to come and give a speech to be mechazik them. And the only time, the earliest time was on Shabbos. Is a rav allowed to travel on Shabbos to the army camp in order to give chizuk, give insight to the Jewish soldiers when they're going out in battle Sunday? Is he allowed to know? The rabbanim permitted it. Morale, Jewish soldiers who don't have the morale, is going to affect their fighting ability, and you may desecrate Shabbos to save it. We had a Shiloh. They have soldiers in Gaza, they're there for months. They get a furlough. They can go home a little bit, take a little rest, and they only get it on Shabbos. Is he allowed to go home on Shabbos, be Mechal Shabbos, to take a rest? You want to think of that. So it's a Shiloh, that's a halachic question regarding Chil Shabbos regarding to the morale. But morale has a halachic concept. Now, listen to this, my dear friends. This was a case And we have Jewish soldiers who are called Mistarabim. They're disguised like Arabs. The Jewish, they know Arabic, they know Arabic perfectly, and they're very charismatic, and in the Arab cities, and they mix with the terrorists, and they hear all the secrets, and they save lives. They're called Mistarabim, they look like Arabs. This fellow in Tel Aviv wanted to go to the city of Ramla, that's near Tel Aviv, and he puts in the Waze, his Waze, Ramla. The Waze translates it Ramallah. So he ends up in the city of Ramallah, this Arab city, right? Oh, a Jewish fellow in an Arab city, they're going to kill you. They're going to lynch you. We cannot enter any Arab city. They can come to us. We cannot go to them. They'll kill you. They say, oh, a Jew, Yahud. So they start getting around, they surround him, and they're going to lynch him. Amongst the group was a Jewish mistarev, a Jewish soldier, who was disguised as an Arab. He could save him, because he's very popular, very charismatic. But if he saves him, first of all, he might be, the other Arabs are going to say, ah, you love Jews. He's going to lose his ability of mixing with them. What does he do? Does he save this individual Jew in order, but by saving the individual Jew, he will not be able to save others, many others. Does he save this individual Jew? Or should he be passive in order to save many afterwards? He had this dilemma. So said to me, Rabbi Yashiv, saving other Jews is not vaday, it's a suffix. Why? The other soldiers, the other mistarabim, the fact that he's going to lose his ability to mix with them, it's not a vaday, the other Jews are going to die. So here's a vaday yachid. Surely, this one Jew is going to be lynched, it's a vadai. Vis-a-vis many, who's a suffek, a vadai yachin has priority over a suffek rabbin. You hear? A vadai yachin has priority over a suffek rabbin, and therefore, he said to me, he has to save his Jew, suffek rabbin. And another shayla, this is another question. This was a Jewish settlement in Shamon, and the Jewish settlement surrounding the wall, and he had two Jewish soldiers walking around patrolling. Two Arab terrorists kind of want to jump into the Jewish settlement. The Jewish soldiers see the shootout. They kill one Arab, they kill. One Jewish soldier seriously wounded. The other Arab terrorist jumps into the settlement. The Jewish soldier was not injured, is a paramedic. He had a dilemma. If he jumps over the wall into the settlement to run after the Arab, his buddy's going to die. If he stays, he's able to save his buddy. But in the meantime, the other fellow, the terrorist is in the Jewish settlement. He may kill Rabbi. What's the halakha? Does he stay and save his buddy, or does he chase after the terrorist who's in the community? Huh? The terrible, terrible dilemma. Says to me, Rabbi Yashiv, tell me. First, he says, the people in the settlement, they have guns, they have weapons. I said, of course they have weapons. Everyone in these Jewish settlements in there should want to have guns. Are there other soldiers inside? I said, yes. So he says, they heard the shooting. So here we have the cases, Vada Yochid, this fellow who's injured is surely going to die, vis-a-vis Rabbim, who are a Sachet. Masalacha, a Vada Yochid has priority over a Safed Rabbi. Wow. So he said he should take care of his friend. Good. These were two Shaila, which I asked him. Now, we had a third Shaila, and I shared this unbelievable story. This is just what the Jewish battalion were in a battle, and one Jewish soldier was seriously wounded. Okay? So they call a helicopter to evacuate him. Now, the wounded soldier needed constant attention from a doctor. The group, this battalion, had one Jewish doctor, and he was treating him the whole time. They called the evacuation helicopter, and usually the helicopter comes without any paramedic, without any doctors. So this officer, the doctor's officer, was in a dilemma. When the helicopter comes, does he go with the wounded soldier who needs constant attention, or does he stay to be with other soldiers? He didn't know what to do. He wasn't religious, that doctor. He wasn't religious. He said, when a person turned to Hashem, he says, I turned to Hashem, and I prayed to Hashem, help me, give me guidance. Helicopter comes, there happened to be a doctor in the helicopter. So the evacuated, he was able to stay with the other soldiers, but Hashem didn't succeed with how it was. Now, the question I asked him, Rabbi Yashiv, Rebbe, what's the halacha? Here's a case of Vada Yochid vis-a-vis the other soldiers. Seemingly it's a suffix. What's the Torah obligation? Is he obligated to go with the wounded, to go on the helicopter to be with the wounded fellow? Or does he stay with everyone else, with other soldiers? So he says to me, he has to stay with the other soldiers. Yeah? His obligation is to be with other soldiers. I translate it, because the soldiers without a doctor with them is going to affect their morale. Affecting the morale is sakonas nefashos. It's more than a suffix, Rabbi. It's more than a suffix. Morale is more than a suffix. And therefore, the halacha would be he has to stay with the other soldiers in order to give them strength and motivation and not to be afraid. Once it's fear, you lose yourself. That is the halacha. Morale, Jewish morale, how it affects the halacha. Okay. Now, just at the end with a. Now we said according to the Bavli, a person is not allowed to put himself into danger, into risk to save another life. Risk is being about 50%. A husband and wife, may enter up to 50% risk to their life to save a spouse. A Vazna Paskin, a woman that pregnancy is dangerous to her, if it's up to 50% risk, she may endanger herself to have a child. That's regarding to yourself, the husband and wife, not regarding to others. Regarding to others, that 50 would be even less than something which we define as risk, which normally we define as risk, would make it prohibited. Regarding to a personal issue, a wife, a husband, a child, then you may take a higher risk. But regarding to someone who's part of you, then you will not be able to take a major risk. Now, here's what the halacha. This is in Shin Chav Tes, and here we're going to end. Then they're open for questions. In Shin Chav Tes, it's brought, and this is those of Shabbos, because Nefesh and Shabbos, someone sees a boat who's drowning, and a river is overflowing, endangering, or individuals being chased by Goyim. It's a mitzvah on a person desecrating Shabbos in order to save them. So comes along the Be'er Heiter, one of the commentaries, and says like this. He brings the same Mikom Makom, in Yeshla Sakana. By my going, entering, I'm putting myself into risk. Ainlo, the sake gufo, he should not. Ainlo. According to the Bible, he said, putting yourself into risk. Ainlo, you're not allowed to. Ainlo, since me'achashu puts the sakana, you're not involved. Right? Even if you see the other fellow's going to die, you may not. Now, Mishnah Berurah quotes this. Let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. So Mishnah says like this. Right? Mikol makom, yesh sakana lehamatzil. The person who's going to save them, there's risk to them. Yesh sakana lehamatzil. Eino mechuyev. You're not obligated, but you may. Huh? And it brings the sources. Why? Because just like we say, Rabbi Akiva says, Hayecha Kodmin, your life has priority. Safek is equal to regular life. So Safek priority, Safek life also have priority. Right? But Lashon says, according to Yisrael, they had their Eino, he should not. But the Mishnah Berurah says, Eino Mechuyev, not Mechuyev. Why? If it's one-on-one, then Eino. But if the boat was drowning, there might be other Jews. So it's one vis-a-vis two. You're not obligated, but you may. Since they said, that's the answer of the difference in the Mishnah Berurah, how he interprets the Yisur V'Heter. If it's one-on-one, then ain't no. But if there's a risk, a boat was drowning, this and that, more than one, then you're not obligated, but ain't no mukuya, but you're allowed. My dear friends, I did retire. If you have questions, right away, I did retire. She gives simcha to the Yisur, she will create simcha to the Yisur. Hashem should bless us all, and Klal Yisrael, Shalom Yisrael, all of us should be blessed with health, parnasah, nahah. We should be zochet to bula shleim of neher v'yameinu amen v'amen. Ananya v'kashem, we have a church in my neighborhood, face a man,